We really get hilariously generous for our partnerships with our people in Guatemala, South Africa, and beyond. So please give some thought to that. But let me pray and ask for God's blessing as we kind of jump into this morning. Father, thank you for this day, and I thank you for all who are here. And Lord, I know that everyone in this room come from different backgrounds and different experiences, and they're just different places on their spiritual journey. And I pray that you would encourage each and every one of them here. I pray, Lord, that as I spend some time sharing from God's word, words of encouragement, as Nancy answers and responds to questions over her almost 30 years of being a mom, Lord, we pray that it would build people up in this room. We pray, Lord God, that it would be your words and not ours. We really have nothing to say, but you have everything to say to those that are in this room. And Father, a special prayer for those in this room, moms who want to be a mom, and just at this point in your plan, they have not been given a child and blessed with a child. And we pray that you would comfort them, that you would minister to them, that you would allow them to realize that your plan for them is perfect. And may they come to understand that you know more than they know, and you know what's best for them, and that you are, God, that you're wise in where they are right now. And we pray your blessing over them in this time of teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, another happy Mother's Day to those of you in here who are moms. It is humbling, and I'm not just blowing smoke here. I mean, it is, I've watched my wife mother our children for almost 30 years, and it is, it's an incredible job. It is, it's probably the most important job, and I just want to thank you for that. And there has been, I think, how many of you just by a show of hands are like really into the superhero movies? Just come on, be honest, stick it up there. That's all we got in this room? They're making a lot of movies. I'm guessing people really like them. Some of you are a closet like Marvel and DC comic book fans, but it is amazing all the superhero movies that are out. And what's, you think about what makes a superhero, right? I mean, well, they fight evil, right? They fight back evil. And kind of tied closely to that is they're protecting the public. But what really makes a superhero super is what? They're supernatural abilities, they're supernatural powers, right? And my understanding, and you can go Google this, you just Google, do moms have superpowers? Just Google that, and you will be amazed at what comes up. You'll hear things like that moms have supersonic hearing, where moms can hear trouble, especially when in the form of silence. That's amazing. That moms have, and this is true, even to this day, when my wife, watch my wife taking care of our grandson, moms have iron stomachs. Neither poop nor pee nor vomit can stop a mom. Moms have super strength. You can see a mom carrying 24 bags of groceries up 2 flights of stairs with a toddler right on her hip, not even blinking an eye about it. And moms have super speed. You wake up 15 minutes before school starts, mom can get the kids out the door on time, no problem. But you know what, with superheroes, and every superhero has a weakness, right? Superman had kryptonite. You know what moms have? Their enemy, their arch enemy, is discouragement. What I asked in preparation for today is I randomly just asked some moms, and I said, if you could ask a mother a question whose children had grown up and were married and on their own now, what would you ask them? And I got a lot of great questions, actually more than we could ever even attempt to answer. And we're going to figure out another time to do that, to get the ones that we don't really get today. Because I had asked Nancy, I said, Nancy, would you please just be willing to share some responses to these questions that were submitted by moms? And you know my wife, she loves the spotlight and loves the microphone. She says, I've been waiting for you to ask me to do that. She reluctantly agreed. But in the questions, you could sense the moms that there was always this discouragement that was like just up below the surface, wondering, am I doing a good job? Are my kids going to turn out okay? Does it get better? There's just the challenge of being a mom. And so this morning, what we want to do to you superheroes is my wife and I, we want to infuse some encouragement into your lives. And I'm going to invite my wife to come on out here. Come on out here, sweetheart. And would you show my wife your appreciation? This is awesome. This is awesome. Yeah, grab that one right there. I may need to turn it on for you. See, she's already wanting to talk. That's fast. That's amazing. There you go, right there.
Is that working?
It's on. He'll catch up to you.
Okay. So I was talking to my younger daughter this week, and I'm like,
this is what happens when you marry a pastor. You know, he invites you to speak on Sunday morning with him. And I'm like, don't marry a pastor. She goes, Mom, I didn't. And I go, yeah, neither did I. And so here I am 30 years later.
I did pull a fast one on you. I'm sorry. But back to what our attempt is. We got these questions, and they're great questions. And I've got as many as we're going to try to get done in the time that she has. And when we don't get done, we're going to find another avenue, another way to get maybe a panel or something. I know that's been requested. We're going to make that happen. So thirdly, some of the questions, I did a message series called Parenthood about 6 months ago. You can go on to our church website, to the podcast, or you can go to our church app. And a lot of the questions that were asked, I think, were addressed then as well. But this morning, Nancy chose the questions that she felt like these are the ones that I think resonate with me, that I can speak into with my own experiences and what's, you know, my passions. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. And so I'm just going to ask her questions that you guys asked for a while. And so kind of relax. In your worship guide, there's a place for you to take some notes. If you want to do that, I would encourage you to do that. Find something to write with. But why don't we start with the first question, sweetheart? And that is, do you have any general thoughts about family bonding?
Yes, I do. But first, let me say, when Kevin on Monday thought of this really great idea that I would come up here, literally,
I thought that was a lot of time.
I spent like 2 hours crying because I was just humiliated and humbled, thinking that I'm talking to moms that I admire and I want to be like, not the least of which my own daughter. And so I thought to myself, and Kevin and I would say, we have nothing to share. We are not experts. We did nothing except made it to the end of the finish line. And so that's the only reason that we are here to share and that we have anything to share. So the first thought was about family bonding. I think it's important to remind young families and even those of you, no matter where you are in the spectrum, that your marriage is the highest priority. It is a higher priority than your kids, and I know that's very different in this kids-centered, kid-centric world, but your marriage is the most important thing. Do not sacrifice your marriage for the sake of your children, because actually what will happen is the opposite. So give priority in your life to your God first and your marriage second, and then your kids. I know in our family, our kids were super excited when they would see Kevin and I like connecting. If we went on a date for our anniversary, I remember one year we came home and they decorated the house. Happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. Even though it was gross when Mom and Dad kissed in front of him, you could tell they kind of thought that was really sweet. And so your kids want you to be connected. And that's not taking away from them. That's building them up and giving them a great model. One thing to think about is your kids were invited into your marriage, and your marriage hopefully will transcend your parenting. I can promise you this, when your kids leave home, it is like all the fun is sucked out of your life, and all of a sudden you're just looking at this person, and let there be something remaining. Because while...
Come on, work. Help me out here.
No, I'm just saying. So while all the fun is sucked out, because kids are fun, granted, I'll say goodbye to the drama, but a lot of fun leaves when they leave. But let there be a good foundation between y'all that y'all can have fun together, and you have been having fun together. And I would say when it comes to family bonding, and I feel like this is, I think this is somewhat countercultural too, but you know what? Your family can't bond if your family's not together. And so if your life is filled with activities, and sports and music lessons and just everything. If you have several kids and every night of the week, everyone is not together, it's very hard for your family to bond. I would encourage you to think critically about the activities and the number of activities that your kids are involved in and cut them to a minimum and realize that you cannot bond as a family if you're not together. So I think that's something that we've kind of lost in this society lately, in this very, we got to have our kid on every team. We have to have our kid in every sport. The family is the most important, and that's just really when it happens. I would say make mealtime together a priority several nights a week. I know it can't happen every night, but several nights a week.
Related to family bonding, how about What do you do about sibling rivalry in the hope that kids will actually like each other when they're growing up?
Well, and so when our kids were growing up, I wouldn't have considered them friends. They were very different people, and I wouldn't have considered them buddies. They were better friends when me and Dad were out of the picture, but when we were all together, and I say that only as an encouragement to you, because now I look at the relationship that my daughters have with one another, and it is really special, and it's really amazing, and that's a lot to do with the strength of their character and the beautiful people that they are. But if your kids aren't getting along right now and they're not the best friends, that's okay. It doesn't mean they'll never be best friends. I did read a really good book that really helps, because I think as parents, the only thing that we can encourage them by not allowing them to be mean or cruel to one another, not allowing them to be abusive, but again, having lots of family time, and at the same time, checking in our spirits, are we creating any animosity between our kids that they would be, you know, one against another? I read a really good book called Siblings Without Rivalry. I don't know if it's up there, but I'm old, so a lot of these books are old. I'm sorry. I haven't read any books about sibling rivalry in the past 10 years. But this was a really good book, and it just helped check our spirits. Are we doing anything that's showing favoritism or creating a spirit of animosity between each other? And then, you know, my kids probably wouldn't have sat down together and played a game together, but if we all played a game together, they did it. And so again, I just family time, family time, family time.
Last question related to family bonding. How can you maintain communication with your children as they grow up so they're confiding in you as they get older?
The only piece of advice I have for that is, and again, we are not experts. We did not do everything right. I was looking back, I probably yelled way too much and responded way too quickly to things that my kids said. But I will say this, as to keep the lines of communication open, the best thing that you can do is just listen. When they tell you something, just listen. Sometimes maybe you have to go in the mirror and practice your reaction faces, that you don't have a look of horror on your face when they tell you something you didn't want to hear. But just listen, because when you can just listen and not quickly jump in with advice, quickly jump in with some kind of criticism, quickly jump in with a punishment, they're going to tell you more things. Again, another good book. Again, it's really old. Oddly enough, it's by the same authors, but it's called How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk. And it gave us lots of tips, and one of them was just listening. Another thing that I would encourage you is to make sure that you understand your kids' love languages. You can do even just quick little online questionnaire to find out what they are, but to find out what your kids are, but if, you know, whether it be physical touch, words of affirmation, gifts, or quality time, when you speak to your child in their love language, they're most likely to speak back to you. So with our children, one of their love languages was quality time, and I knew that if I spent enough time with her, eventually she would start talking. Again, when it comes to talking, if the only time your kid wants to talk to you is at 11 o'clock at night, then you're just going to have to stay up till 11 o'clock at night, every night for a real long time. And it'll be worth it. But, you know, teenagers, that sometimes once they start going, and you just got to be ready to listen when they start talking.
Second question, how are your thoughts about passing on your faith to your children? What are your thoughts about that?
What are my thoughts? Well, ultimately, I wish there was like a book that that I could put up here, and you can do the three quick steps to passing on your faith to your children and check that one off the box. I think it's not that easy. I think it's a lifetime process, and I think as parents, we would be very wise to let our children enter into our spiritual walk as much as they can, depending on where they're at. I feel like I did not do this very well. I felt like my kids saw the result of my spiritual walk, but they didn't understand the process of how I got there. They would see us reading our Bibles, and we prayed together as a family, but why didn't I articulate to my children, I've made this decision to do this, and this is why I made this decision, because I read this in Scripture, because I prayed about it, because, you know, I sought the wise counsel of others. I'm doing this or I'm not doing that because God's Word tells me this, or I'm praying. And so, again, that communication thing, I feel like is the number one way that you can transfer your faith to your children, besides super fun things like family devotionals, which are great, a great thing to do. Of course, just modeling it in your household with regards to prayer, which with regards to church attendance. Let me tell you, our kids, we started this church. They were here from, you know, 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock every day for like 15 years. And that's got to, something's got to sink in at some point. And they were great troopers. Imagine when your house is the church and your bedroom is Tiny Town. That's what was going on at the very, very beginning. And our kids were very graceful and had to be very sacrificial then. And I admire them for that. We put them in a lot of situations where they just saw life working. And the beauty of the community of faith is there were so many people in our church that loved on our kids really, really well. And it's because they knew them. It's because they were here, there all the time. I think another verse that I just really wanted to share with you, this is in Deuteronomy, and it's maybe a familiar verse to those with a church background, but it's talking about after Moses was given the Ten Commandments and how we're supposed to live these out in our lives. And it says in Deuteronomy 6:6, "These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol." So again, that's what God's word says, is just let it be the natural flow of your relationship with God.
How can I teach my children to be givers and not takers?
Well, again, I think the answer to that is modeling. You know, I look at somebody like Stephanie and James Larkins, literally, here every time the church was open. And their kids were here every time the church was open, and they modeled that really well. And it, you can see the influence on their children now. Our kids here all the time. And I could probably say that a lot of times they, you know, if I would say, hey, let's go set up, they weren't super thrilled about the opportunity to do that. But I will say that I now see in their adult lives how they are real servers from their heart. They do it from their heart, not just because they had to. And so, again, just the modeling and the inviting them into your world. Wait, hold on a second. Oh, yeah, I knew there was something I wanted to say, but I wanted to make sure it was in this part. I think it would be very wise if you are able to take your children on a mission trip. I think it's very wise for your kids to see that, like, 98% of the world does not live like this. And I think when children have a heart for that, they have more of a heart to serve. Take your kids to Freezing Nights, whatever it might be. And interestingly, Tara Maurieder shared this with me years ago after a children's conference she went to, and they had done a study of adults who had, after their college years, remained in the church or left the church. And the common denominator of kids that remained in the church after their college years was that they had been on a mission trip. And so I think just seeing how the rest of the world lives gives your children a spirit of joyfulness and thankfulness and a spirit of service.
What discipline strategies or principles did you use for your girls?
Well, I think ultimately you need to be very intentional and very consistent with your discipline of your children, whatever you decide that needs to be. And let me tell you, it's exhausting. And it's going to be exhausting from about 6 months in one day till the day they leave your house. Disciplining your children is exhausting. It's constant. You're always having to mind that. And if you have to punish them in a way, it is, I'm sure moms, we can say, it is more punishment to us than it is to them. If they can't drive for a week when they're in high school, guess who's got to make sure they get to places? If they can't watch TV and we have a small house, that means none of us can watch TV because the TV's on and we don't want her, you know, going and hiding in her room. So discipline, no matter what, it's exhausting, it's tiring. I remember one particularly difficult and rather severe consequence we had to give to one of our children, and I'm telling you, it felt like I was punched in the gut. It was physically painful for us to have to be, to make a decision like that, to do something really hard. But we knew it was necessary. We knew it was absolutely the right thing to do. But it was hard, and it would have been a lot easier to look over it. But again, after 30 years, I can say I don't regret any of the time that we spent being intentional with our discipline, following it through from beginning to end. I don't regret any of that. As a matter of fact, the only thing I do regret is that I didn't do it even more intentionally.
How do you transition your children from dependence to independence as they grow older?
A couple things, just for us. You just got to know your kids. And I think even, you know, watching my daughter with our grandson, you can kind of tell he gives you cues, even at 18 months of wonderful cuteness. He gives us cues about what he's ready to learn. And I think your kids will give you cues about what they're ready to learn. I would encourage you to give them as much independence as you possibly can all along the way. And I think, too, that downtime at night, at home, in the evenings is really important with regards to teaching them about the activities of daily life and managing their time. It probably is, if you have children that are way too busy and you're shuttling them here and there, they're not always spending a lot of time making a lot of independent decisions. And so, again, just time with you and them, watching how they move, watching how they work through the day, and then using those opportunities to say, you know what, I think that's something he can be doing on his own now, or this is something he does not need to be doing on his own now.
How do you balance work, home, family, and time for yourself as a mom?
Well, there you go. That is super hard. It's super hard as a mom to keep the balance. I feel like as moms, we just give and give and give and give. And you know what? In a lot of great ways, God's wired us to do that. And so that's really exciting. But I will say, give yourself a break. Give yourself a break from the Pinterest people, from the Facebook people. Give yourself a break. Decide the model that you want to live up to, and don't let your life be defined how other people are doing parenting and mothering. I will go back to, if your kids are involved in a lot of activities, maybe it's time to cut back on those if you realize that you aren't having a lot of family time. I know that for me, worked from home for 12 years. I had the blessing of working from home for 12 years while my kids were in junior high and high school. And just in the last 2 years, I now work outside the home. I work for Edward Jones, and I actually have to dress every day, and I actually have to get in the car and drive somewhere, and I actually have to, like, it's a lot harder. And I am having a super hard time. I am struggling 2 years into this. If you're a friend of mine, you know I complain about it all the time. I am having a hard time, and I think to myself all the time, what if I had kids at home? I don't even know how you working moms do it. I think you're amazing. And so realize it is really, really hard. My husband for Mother's Day asked me, hey, what about for Mother's Day I buy you one of those big, beautiful hanging baskets? And for the backyard, I'm like, I ain't got time for that, dude. I do not have time to water a plant every day. My plate is full. So if your kids got here today and they at least had one shoe on and they've eaten three vegetables this week, consider that a success. Because it is hard. It's hard to manage your time. If you're a working mom and working energizes you, I say amen to that. Keep going, girl. But if you are a working mom and you don't want to be a working mom, I say chart out a plan to get to the point where you can work part-time or you can stay at home. It can happen. We raised our kids on a pastor salary, and it worked. So you just kind of make your sacrifices. And make sure that the important people in your life know if you're struggling, so that they can be a support to you.
How do you stay encouraged as a mom?
I think the best way to stay encouraged as a mom is to be around other moms as much as you can. And I say that, of course, on the heels of, moms who don't have balance. But I would say to make a priority to occasionally get in touch with other moms, maybe a little bit ahead of you, maybe right where you're at, to realize it's hard, to learn some lessons from one another, to be a support from one another, and to be real with one another. Because if you take the conglomeration of all that you see on Facebook and create this perfect gal that you're trying to live up to, it'll never happen, and you'll live a life, I feel, of defeat. Instead, get around moms who are just like you, who are in your same position, and who have the same values as you, and be an encouragement to one another. I think that is the best thing that you can do.
What is the one thing you did well and saw the benefits of it?
One thing we did well, I think, was our kids had a really good understanding of personal finances. I realize we're short on time.
You're,
I'm
keep
talking.
Going. You're good.
I won't. Anyway, our kids had a really good understanding of personal finances. That one of the blessings of being a pastor's family is you're kind of poor, and you can't give your kids a lot. And quite frankly, our kids did not suffer from that. And our kids were responsible for paying for everything that was extra in their lives. And they did a really, really, really good job of that. One thing I will say, that while my kids had a lot of responsibility with regards to their finances, and we taught them through that, one thing that we always paid for and never, never wavered was, if there was a youth group activity, we were handing out the cash. Oh, you want to go there with youth? You want to go? Because we didn't ever want them to think, oh, well, I don't want to go to that youth thing because I don't have, you know, I would rather spend my money going, I don't know, in the movies or Old Navy or whatever. So that was one thing I felt like we were intentional about, and we really see the blessings. Our girls are just great money managers.
What is one thing you didn't do or didn't do well and wished you had?
One thing I feel like, and I referenced this a little bit before, one thing I didn't do very well is I too often said it's just easier to do it myself than to expect my kids to do it. I too often just either swooped in and maybe solved their problems. I too often really, you know, didn't make a deal about them doing their chores because it really did. It really didn't always get done all that well. You know, when they were 3 or 4 years old, I could have, you know, had them at the sink with me learning how to wash dishes and just, you know, doing life like that or teaching them to cook. And instead, I just thought it was just easier to do myself. And now I look back, I wish I had incorporated them more into my daily life. I wish I would have just let myself not worry that things weren't done exactly the way that I wanted them done.
Last question. What is the one thing all parents should know?
The one thing all parents should know is there's a finish line. but then the one thing that we want you kids to know is there's never a finish line. We never stop loving our kids. They'll always be our babies. We love them so much. But ultimately, if Dumb and Dumber can do it, you can do it. But I will also say that, you know what? God has got this. God has put these children in your family for a reason. And as much as we can fill their lives and our lives with a lot of self-doubt, God has a purpose and a plan, and he will cover your mistakes as he needs to, and he will bless you abundantly. Ultimately, I think we all know really great parents whose kids have gone astray, and we've also known really bad parents who have great kids. And so as much as it's our part to be very intentional about it, that's not the whole of it. Their kids are going to make decisions on their own. They're going to do things. And we just got to know that God has got this. I think of several times in my life where maybe my kids wouldn't have done what I would have done, or circumstances didn't allow them to have opportunities that I felt like they really had. But you have to remember, God's got this. God knew. God knows. God put them in your family. God didn't let them get on that team for a reason. They didn't allow you to have enough money, so this couldn't happen. God has got this. And as Kevin reminds me over and over and over again, as you know, I have mommy doubt and mom guilt, is that if you're going to blame yourself, this is what he says, Nan, if you're going to blame yourself for the mistakes, then you are better take credit for the success. And I'm telling you, I am not taking credit for any of the success. It is God and the goodness of God that we can even stand up here after 30 years and say, you know, to God be the glory, great things he has done. And so God's got this. So.
Well done. Well done, sweetheart. You were great. You were great. We have fun at home, don't we?
Oh, we have fun.
We have, okay, all right. I just try to make it fun. I'm trying to make it.
Family bonding.
There we go. All right, very good. Very good. Thank you, sweetheart. All right. I'm going to come at you kind of quickly from my vantage point. I think you get, unfortunately, you hear me way too much, you know, and so I think it's really, really good to hear from other people. And I'm very proud of my wife. She has been an amazing mother. She's been an amazing wife. She's been very supportive. And I'm just so thankful that she was willing. And I guess I gave her short notice. I thought, you know, Monday was good, but I got to remember that. So anyways, thank you for your patience with that. Let me come on the other side. And I want to share with you some sources of encouragement. We said that superhero moms, the arch enemy and villain is discouragement. But that's not unique to mothers. That's unique to all of us. We have, life is as it is. It can be very discouraging. And so I want to give you some sources of encouragement that I think are vital to being able to rise above the fray and being able to walk with hope and be successful in whatever you do. So the first thing, and this is going to go rather quickly, so just take it for what it's worth, okay? And these notes will be posted on our Facebook page. But the first source of encouragement is you need a power greater than yourself inside of you, and that is the Holy Spirit. You've got to receive the Holy Spirit. As Christ followers, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, something spiritual happens to you. Now, when I say that can sound really kind of uncomfortable, maybe even scary. I remember when I wasn't a Christ follower, when people talked about the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, I associated with that shaking and hilarious laughter and falling down and just acting strange, and it scared me. That's not what I'm talking about when I say the power of the Holy Spirit. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, his work for you, something spiritual happens. The Spirit of God comes inside of you, but the way you know the Spirit of God is inside of you is your affections begin to change. You desire the things of God. Your mindset begins to change. You begin to think about the things of God, and you can't explain it. It just starts happening. Why do I want to open my Bible? Why do I want to go to church? Why do I care about how other people are doing and how I might be able to help them? And that's the Spirit of God working inside of you. And there's a passage of scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, says this: "For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment." This spiritual thing that happens to you, the Spirit of God comes inside of you, gives you what you need to rise above the fear and the worry that tends to support the discouragement that can happen in our lives. The second source of encouragement is you need a community of faith. You need other people like yourself. But what's important is it needs to be a community of faith. I'm sure you have friends and neighbors and coworkers that can encourage you and help you along. But the life we're living, we need more than that. We need something supernatural, a superpower. And we need the people of God who share the same faith that we have to encourage us at a spiritual level. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. He says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing." The idea is when we come together, we need to infuse into each other encouragement. Now, that doesn't mean when you go out and you have a good time, maybe you're going golfing or you're going shopping or you're hanging out picnic time on a beautiful day like today and you're just enjoying each other's company. That's great. But there's got to be a part of your community that's asking you, how are you doing spiritually? What burden can I help you with? Hey, I'm concerned that I see this in you. We need that. That helps to keep us moving in the right direction. In connecting in that way, it gives us encouragement because our blind spots are covered. But lastly, and maybe most importantly, where I was going to spend most of my time, and it's going to be even faster than I've already spoken at this point, the ultimate source of encouragement comes from the promises and Word of God. And I have so many I want to share with you in here. I'm just going to moms, but this is also to everybody else. When you are tempted to compare your child with another child, That never turns out well. Either one, you're prideful because your kid's better, or you're demoralized because your kid's not as good. And that goes for anything else. If you're comparing yourself to your coworker or to another athlete or to the house next door or to your sibling, you're either going to come out of it thinking, I'm all that, or you're going to come out of it thinking, I'm a mess. Comparison does not help you. But what comparison does, when we compare, what it's showing is our insecurities are leaking out. We're not comfortable in who we are. And Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, he reminds him, he says, you are the children of God. He says, not only that, you are the heirs with Christ to the kingdom. So he says, rather than live your life like you're a pauper, live what you really are, and that is you are a child of the Most High God. So don't let other people define who you are. Don't compare yourself to who you are in comparison to people. Look at the fact that you are a child of God, a co-heir with Christ. That's Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. And then write this, Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is a powerful psalm. And in Psalm 139, one of my favorite verses is it says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So I would say to the mom, every child is different. Every child has something unique about them. And your job isn't to make them like others or make them like you want them to be. Your job and role is to make them who they've been created to be. And it's something unique. It's something that the psalmist says has been fearfully and wonderfully made. So don't lose sight of that. What about when you're afraid of your child's future? You look down the road and you're like, I'm really afraid. Well, Psalm 139, 16, the psalmist says, and it's David who's writing, he says that God has a plan for us, and he has the numbers, or the days of our lives are numbered. God has a plan. God cares about your children more than you do. Just rest in that. Be okay with that. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice the connection between a faithful prayer and peace. How do we bring our petitions to God? We pray. We bring our fears to him that way. We pray. Mom and Dad, pray for your children. Bring your fears to him. He can handle them. And then trust him with them. And walk away with the peace that he wants you to have. Jeremiah 29:11, I don't have time to read it, but it's God's words that says, I have plans for you, and these plans are awesome plans. Trust God's plans. Keep hope that God has plans. Even when you look at it now, you're just not sure. Hang in there. Persevere. Endure. Know God, as my wife said, God's got this, okay? And then what about those of you that regret the past? You've made a mistake. You missed out. You're thinking, how do I recover? What do I do? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's a powerful promise from God. It says, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. Write this down. This is a statement that, if you can just remember this, mistakes are regrettable if they're not redeemable. Just write that down. Mistakes are regrettable if they're not redeemable. Every mistake you think you've made, you can redeem it. You can learn from it as you move forward and maybe correct future activity. But let's just say you can't. Let's just say you miss that opportunity. How do you redeem that mistake? You realize that you're weak, you're frail. You need the power of God. You need the help of God. And if it draws you to that, well, then your mistake has been redeemed. So don't get stuck being guilt-ridden. Don't let that eat you up. Make sure you have an opportunity. We can make every mistake, rather than regrettable, we can make it redeemable. We can use it for good going forward, and we can trust the promise of God that he will use it for our good. Isaiah 43:25 says, it is I who sweep away your transgressions for my own sake, and I remember your sins no more. That's a powerful promise. God says, I will not remember your sins. I will not remember your mistakes. It's not that he forgets them, because God is all-knowing. He chooses not to remember. He chooses not to hold against us because of what Jesus has done when we put our faith and trust in him. And then lastly, when you're frustrated, mom, with the present, your kid's just not getting it. You're like, oh my, I'm just so frustrated because he just doesn't seem to understand. She just doesn't seem to want to obey. And you begin to get really frustrated. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, consider a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. You gotta rest. And this is, moms, this is why dads are really helpful. Because moms want to come in and want to rescue and pull out their children because their love is so powerful for their kids. But there is so much to be learned in the trial and the struggle. You're short-circuiting the learning process when you just want to go in and rescue. You have to trust this promise and say, God is going to show them in the midst of this. He's going to teach me to trust him. That's really important. To the parent, he says, I will teach you trust if you will trust in me. But to the child, he teaches that there are consequences to poor decisions. He teaches the child that there is unconditional love when a parent continues to love when the child continues to mess up and make mistakes. The child learns grace, and those are all important things that you don't want to short circuit. So for this week, may I challenge you? I know there's a lot. Again, these will be posted on Facebook. Would you please just take some time and read through these Bible verses every day? Set your day, set the tone of your day by trusting in the promises and the Word of God. Okay. Now, that's assuming that you have received the power of the Holy Spirit, that you've put your faith and trust in Christ, because now these promises are energized by the Spirit that's inside of you. And again, connecting to other moms in a community of faith where you can be encouraged. Please, please do that during the summertime when everyone's out and doing all the fun things they're doing, okay? Let me pray, all right? Father, thank you so much for moms, how powerful they are, how you use them in untold ways to make significant, meaningful, lasting, eternal differences in this world. And I pray your blessing over the mothers here today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.